Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Absolutely Necessary. A lot of sports news to talk about, some news we're not going to talk about. Like the Chicago Blackhawks firing head coach Jonathan Quenneville? Something like that. LaMelo Ball back in the high school ranks, baby. And, you know, the European Super Soccer League, which we're all so interested in. Maybe just me. But we do have some stuff to get into today. I'm your host, Logan Tracy. Jacob Masick here, and joining us again after his sabbatical, Jackson Layer. Welcome home.
It's good to be back. Good to be back.
Welcome home. All right, let's jump right into the Tuesday show. Got a lot to talk about. We're going to recap the NFL weekend and Monday Night Football. We're going to talk a little bit about some winners and some losers. Going to touch on college football and some little college basketball later. And then we're going to have a debate between all three of us against a subject I think is pretty interesting. Well, let's just jump right on into it. I think my favorite game of the week that we watched was Sunday Night Football.
No question.
Patriots-Packers. What did you guys think of it? We'll start with Jackson.
Very satisfying to watch this. Of course, the debate we were all looking forward to during the season, the GOAT. We heard about Michael Jordan and LeBron James, but now it is football season, and it is now between Aaron Rodgers and Tom freaking Brady.
It's also basketball season, though, so...
Let me just point out, this game
just
was...
ruined the moment.
This game was over before it even started.
Oh.
Let me point out. It was I had Patriots all the way. I thought they would win by more. So I was actually impressed with the fight that the Packers put up in this game to... stay close in this game. I did not expect, I was tuning in for the whole game, and I did not expect it to be this close, especially nearing halftime, how close it was.
What was your projected score? What did you think?
I thought the Patriots would win by 21 or more. I did not think it would be this close. Obviously, I know they have Rodgers, but this Packers team, I don't believe they can be consistently good with the wide receiving core that they have, so...
Speaking of scores, by the way, I'd like to point out from our predictions last weekend about what NFL games would happen, I ended up winning that. I only missed two games, and Jacob ended up losing that because he managed to get four games right. So later in the week, Jacob will have a punishment for me.
Actually, Michael Waddell lost that challenge, I believe.
No, I've done the math here. Michael Waddell got six games right, and Jacob, you got four.
I believe I got more than four.
What a shame.
What games did you get?
I got a lot of games.
You got
really well.
Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Texans.
I got a lot of games right.
You have a punishment coming later this week. It's going to be a good one. Stay tuned. But I was impressed with the Patriots, especially it showed on that first drive where they came out. They played a whole different game. They caught the Packers off guard. They changed up their style a bit. And it exposed the Packers for... They're not a team full of a lot of talent. They're kind of just Aaron Rodgers.
I think the Packers' defense is better than people think. But the thing that impressed me about the Patriots is just how they're using people right now in roles, especially like Cordarrelle Patterson in roles that he's not used to. Just putting the ball in his hands, they understand maybe better than his previous teams like the Raiders and Vikings have that... If you can put the ball in his hands on screens and get the ball in his hands, that's when he's a playmaker. He's not as good running routes and catching passes.
Cordell Patterson in this game had 11 carries for 61 yards and scored a touchdown on the ground, which is very impressive for somebody who is listed as a wide receiver.
And they had one really amazing trick play where Tom Brady chucked it out to Edelman on the in the right flat. And they set up a screen on the left side, but... The Patriots beautifully executed it. The Packers had no idea that three linemen had pulled out to the left side with James White, and they just chucked it back, and James White went all the way down to the 5-yard line for a 45-yard run. I think that just really is a testament to how well the Patriots prepared for this game, and they were ready to use their best shot.
Jax, we'll move to you. What did you think about it?
No, I really think that the surprise in this game was how the Patriots' defense actually played against Rodgers. I thought it was very impressive that Marquise Valdez-Scantling was the leading receiver for the Packers with three receptions for 101 yards.
To be fair, most of that came on one drive and two consecutive passes.
of 30 yards or more, so...
I mean...
Yeah, but we're here to talk about sports, not to be fair.
And I just... I feel like this... This should settle most of what people are saying, like the GOAT debates or whatever. So, looking at the game, Patriots did what they needed to do. They showed up, and they beat Aaron Rodgers in the only game against that horrible Packers defense that Jacob finds underrated for some reason. I mean, I guess if you hold the Patriots to 31, that's pretty... pretty impressive.
To be fair, the Packers, I believe, are ranked 9th in yards allowed on defense.
Yeah, they're
it's a defense that's shown some improvement, has some good young pieces, especially Jair Alexander, a cornerback, has been proving himself
and
the last couple of weeks.
Josh Jackson,
yep.
Another rookie.
Right, I'm just saying that team, that didn't show up against the Patriots.
I think they did show up. I think they gave the Patriots the best shot, but the Patriots are the better team in this game. I think the Packers showed up and gave the Patriots the best shot, including... them pulling out a lot of plays. Aaron Jones showing up in the game too was a big part of the game, and I think the Patriots quickly figured out that the Packers wanted to lengthen the field a little bit and get the game moving faster. Jimmy Graham had some early catches, but as the game got later on, Jimmy Graham wasn't as effective later on in the game. And Devontae Adams, he did catch a touchdown, but 6 catches for 40 yards in a primetime game, you'd like more yardage out of him to help the Packers a little bit more.
Well, let's keep talking about the Packers, but we're going to move on to a little segment I like to call Code Red, where we're going to talk about what teams at this point in the season should be in panic mode, or maybe, hey, let's cool the Jets a little bit, we're still in a decent spot. I got 5 teams listed here. They're teams that we haven't talked too much about this year, so you won't see the Browns or the Broncos on this list. They're not bottom of the heap. They're decent teams with decent records, but maybe it's time to be a little scared. And the first team I have listed, which is why I want to go into this now, is the Green Bay Packers. So we'll start with Jacob and then move to Jackson. Is it time in Green Bay for them to panic?
For Green Bay, I would say no. It's not time to panic. You still have your solid base there. I would just say they haven't surrounded the solid base that the Packers have with as much talent as they should have.
But would you say trading HaHa Clinton Dix this last week, is that signifying a panic move?
I don't think the Packers are panicking. I don't think they're panicking because they still have their solid base there of good players. I don't think the Packers are necessarily panicking. I don't believe that's the right word to describe what they're doing right now. I think they just found out that HaHa Clinton Dix is an asset that they, to be fair, they could get rid of for some return. I don't like the move necessarily, obviously, but his contract is up at the end of the year. So if you're not confident you're going to re-sign him, and you don't think he'll be that much of a difference when he's gone, why not get a return for him? I do not think the Packers are panicking.
The question isn't are they panicking? It's should they be panicking? Because now Green Bay is 3-4-1. They're close to the bottom of their division. They're close with Detroit, who's another team we'll talk about next. But Jackson, do you think the Green Bay Packers should be panicking? Because there are a lot of struggles. They haven't won a game away from Lambeau this year.
Yeah, I was just looking at that stat right before you were saying that. I think they should be. I mean, looking at this Packers team, they came into this season with high hopes. Aaron Rodgers was coming back from his collarbone injury. Devontae Adams, as they traded away Jordy Nelson, was supposed to take over the lead role. The running game, Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery, that backfield was supposed to be electrifying. As like we saw flashes of, I wouldn't say greatness, I would say goodness from that backfield.
Solid okayness.
So, exactly. So this Packers team was poised to be at least top two right now for the division in the AFC North, especially during this part of the season. I doubt that anyone saw the Packers going 0-4 away from home. So that boggles my mind with this. Like, even I, being a Vikings fan, not wanting to see the Packers necessarily succeed, I'm like, I'm still surprised that the Packers aren't delivering with that solid core of Aaron Rodgers. And that's it. But, yeah, I think that they should be panicking. And that move with the HaHa Clinton Dix kind of confused me. But don't know. They had to make some changes, and they need to make them right now if they want to be contending for this.
The Packers were a team in the offseason that promised a retool, and retooled somewhat, but didn't really change all that much. If they're going to be successful in the future, the next couple of years, they have Aaron Rodgers while he's still in his prime, do you think it's going to require a more serious retool this next offseason?
Yes, they're going to have to definitely have to fish for a big free agent. I mean, looking at this, we're going to have to reevaluate how the Packers team is trying to rebuild themselves. And they need to work on defense. That's the biggest thing right now for them. They need to go get a safety or someone who can fill in the gap that HaHa Clinton-Dix has clearly left. And their cornerback game needs to improve because Josh Allen just smoked them for 5 receptions for 130 yards and a touchdown.
Jacob, any final thoughts on the Packers before we move on?
Packers shouldn't panic. It's not time for the Packers to panic. I think the management is bad, but I don't think it's... You still have a solid base there, so I don't think it's time for them to just say this season's over and lose it all.
All right, let's transition to the team below them in the NFC North, the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are 3-5 under new head coach Matt Patricia, and really didn't show up for this game against the Vikings this last week. 24-9 they lost. Do you think it's time for Detroit to hit that big red button?
Yes. I think it's time for Detroit to hit that big red button. Detroit should be in full panic mode. Golden Tate was obviously missing from their offense. They just didn't have the offensive punch that they had. The Vikings were easily able to shut down their passing game, and that allowed the Vikings to focus on the running game, and Kerryon Johnson was kept from exploding in many situations. So I think overall, yes, the Lions need to panic. Stafford's getting toward, if not the end of his prime, towards the end of his prime. And it's time for the Lions to either say we're playing for the future or we need to make moves now. The Golden Tate move is not looking good.
Stafford did throw for less than 200 yards in the game. Kerryon Johnson, who's been a pleasant surprise for this Lions team, managed 12 carries for only 37 yards. Jackson, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to agree with Jacob, which, I mean, I find myself doing way too much on this show. But the Lions, their offensive line is abysmal. They have to be in panic mode. Matt Patricia, coming from the Patriots, very keen defensive mind, he has to make sure that the Vikings, all the offenses that he's facing, he has to make sure that one, they're not, the other team's not scoring, and two, that his quarterback's being protected as a head coach. That's his role. With that key player, Matthew Stafford, as like you guys said, he's nearing the end of his prime. You're going to have to keep him healthy if you really want him long-term. 10 sacks and 17 QB hits is not acceptable. You can't have that. You can't expect to win games. You can't expect your quarterback to stay healthy if he's taking that amount of damage. The Detroit Lions, you're in a bad place right now, especially with your wide receiving core.
If you could make one move for the Lions right now, what move would you make?
I would probably sign a big free agent.
Well, you can't sign a big free agent right now. It's not the offseason.
Right now?
Yes.
There's not much they can do now with the trade deadline passed. There's not many good free agents, and it's going to be hard to save this season.
No, but I'm saying as an indicator for the future, to make future plans or cut salary cap, what's a move you could do now? Or maybe if you want to choose an option for a free agent, this offseason that you think would fit the Lions well?
I don't know. I feel like, well, one, sign a new special teams coach as they fired off their last one after the loss to the Vikings. That's a big one. But...
You think they should draft a quarterback?
No, it's not time. No. Not while you have Matthew Stafford, who's still a good quarterback in this league.
I'd still target offensive line. You're going to have to protect your quarterback, whether it be Stafford or beyond. If you don't have the protection, your quarterback's not going
to
strive.
Their biggest hole is easily pass rush, so they're not getting to the quarterback. And obviously they picked up Damon Harrison, who's a good pickup, but he's better against the run than he is against the pass. They really need an impact player to come in play defensive end. Either Ziggy Ansah needs to come back firing, or they need to draft a guy this offseason.
Well, I would also say their offensive line. I would consider drafting an offensive lineman and completely retooling that offensive line, as there hasn't been a ton of injuries and they're still just not performing at a high level.
All right, then let's move on. AFC this time. The Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens have shown some struggles. They lost to the Steelers just this last weekend. And reports are coming out today that Harbaugh isn't going to have them practice all week. They'll run a few conditioning and team meeting deals, and then by Wednesday, they'll be home and done. First, I'm going to ask, do you guys think this is a smart decision to have the Ravens not practice on the bye? We'll start with Jackson this time.
I think this is an excellent decision by the Ravens not to practice.
You've been cut off. Jackson, go. Shut your mouth.
I think the Ravens.
One more word out of you, and that's 20 push-ups.
It's a great decision by the Ravens to do this. Jackson, would you agree with me? I think it's a good decision by the Ravens, because when a team is struggling, the best thing they need is to take a couple days off and refocus.
Fine. No. If you're not going to listen, you're going to explain yourself.
Okay.
Why? Jackson, why is it a good idea?
Jackson, do you agree with me on that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, I think it's a... What, you're asking me why it's a great idea to take time off to retool and focus? Wouldn't we all like a couple days as just people in our lives to take time off and focus?
No.
To take 3 days and just have 3 rest days to just refocus? That's what he's using the bye week for. He's not using the bye week for them to come in. Right now, the Ravens aren't executing what he's putting on the table. So what he's going to do is have them refocus, come back, do some conditioning drills till Wednesday this week, and then come back on the weekend and get prepared for next week. It's what they need to do,
right.
And it will also help them rest up injuries.
That's where I was trying to go there with the mind game. It's all in your head. If you don't have the confidence going on the field, you're not going to have it off the field, on the practice field. John Harbaugh is recognizing the hot start that they had, they've lost that. That momentum is gone. With that, the 3 straight losses that they've had, the Ravens that we've known to have the best defense in the league is gone, as we know it. So now, John Harbaugh is in a situation where, one, do I have my guys practicing through this bye week where we have literally no momentum, or do I have them go home, refresh themselves, have them find again that motivation to play and to fight? I think that that's the right decision to make here. Because if your head's not in the game, then your whole body's out of the game. It's very, very mental, this game of football. Yeah.
I'm going to continue to play devil's advocate, and I'm going to say, what if it doesn't work? What if this team, with their days off, somebody does something stupid? What if somebody gets arrested? What if they just mess around, don't take it seriously, just happy to have the break? They come back just as unmotivated, and the season goes down
the
drain.
Well, is that Harbaugh's fault?
It's a very real possibility.
Oh, no, I know it's a very real possibility. I would just argue to you that player shouldn't be a part of the NFL or be a part of that team if he's making dumb decisions. If he's a suck on the culture of the Baltimore Ravens, and he's showing that now during this time, then he shouldn't be on the team. Harbaugh shouldn't have to be looking over players' shoulders every second. Players should understand it's a very great gift to play in the National Football League, and they need to be responsible with doing that.
I think that's what John Harbaugh is seeing in his team as well. Having that trust with his players, giving them that courtesy, that privilege to go out and not be obligated to the team for a week, just going and doing whatever they can to get their minds and their bodies ready. I think that he knows that he hasn't lost the locker room there. Like, he's still the solid head coach that all the players respect him. So to me, I think that, I mean, that would be very tragic if something happened with players.
Why don't you
outside?
Think he's lost the locker room? Because I think there were rumors that Lamar Jackson, players are wanting Lamar Jackson to step in.
Right, but they want him to step in, but they're not going to, like, rebel. Like, they respect John. Like, there's a fine line between...
Well, what do you mean by losing the locker room? Because I view it as, like, a step-by-step thing, not as, like, players rebelling and that's losing the locker
room. I'm thinking Vance Joseph, kind of lose the locker room.
Vance Joseph has lost the locker room.
Thomas's comments made that clear.
Yeah,
he was not running that locker room at all.
I was saying losing the locker room.
Right, I don't think he
lost.
Is, though. Because John Harbaugh, okay, as a head coach who's won Super Bowls, and
Super
knows
Bowl.
What he's doing. Fair. I think the players realize that it's not the coach's fault that they're doing badly. They know that it's on them. Because John Harbaugh has been doing this for years. And even though it's a different NFL, I think John Harbaugh is still efficiently taking his team to new heights that we haven't even seen. John Harbaugh took a Ravens defense, who we didn't expect to do anything, and just brought it up to number one this season. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that for sure. So he's clearly doing something right here. I think the players are seeing that. And I think that's why John Harbaugh trusts this as well. Because he knows that... Oh, stop it. Oh.
I think Lamar Jackson should be the starting quarterback of this
No,
team.
That wasn't the question.
I think John Harbaugh is at the beginning of losing this locker room management and team's trust in him by not starting Lamar Jackson. So Jackson,
no.
I would say that John Harbaugh is in the beginning stages of losing this team because they have a more viable quarterback on the bench that gives their team multiple options
Lamar,
and makes their offense multiple faceted.
John Harbaugh knows what he's doing.
Yes, their defense is good, but I think their offense doesn't have multiple dimensions, and Joe Flacco doesn't bring... All he brings is throwing the football.
John Harbaugh would bring in Lamar Jackson if he knew that he was ready. He's not ready if he's not in.
Oh, he's ready.
Is he, though?
Yes, he is, though.
Playing with John...
All right, let's just keep it short and simple.
Okay, oh, sorry. That's my... Okay.
John Harbaugh. We all agree he's a good coach.
Yes.
But is it time for the Ravens to move on from him?
No.
All right.
It's not.
So should the Ravens be panicking right now with this season?
The Ravens should not be panicking right now. I believe Jackson made the point that their defense is great. I believe that just like the Jaguars did a year ago and moved all the way with that defense and obviously the quarterback who shall not be named at the front of that offense.
Cody Kessler?
I believe that the Ravens can see that. Even if their offense is not working as well as it could right now, they can improve that while relying on their great defense.
Yo, I was just to go off that real quick. They have a bright future, and I think that even though that they're failing right now, if Joe Flacco doesn't work out, they can bring in Lamar Jackson. Like, I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson shouldn't start. I'm just saying it's not the right stage for him to start. But they shouldn't be panicking because there's other options that they can go if they start losing a lot more.
Who should start after the bye week? After the bye week, they play Cincinnati. Who should start that game, Flacco or Jackson?
Flacco.
Jackson. Lamar Jackson should be the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens going forward for the rest of the season and for the future. I believe he'll be a franchise quarterback in the NFL.
All right.
And that is my hot take for today. Lamar Jackson is a franchise quarterback in the NFL and will end up being one of the best quarterbacks in the draft that he was taken in.
Scalding. Absolutely scalding. All right, we're going to transition to the Jaguars. Jacksonville is now 3-5, third in the AFC South, the weakest division in football, in my opinion. They have dropped their last four games.
Can you just detail the standings in that division right now?
It is, off the top of my head, I will pull them up right now, but it's Houston, Tennessee, then Jacksonville, and then the Colts. Okay, so they're tied with the Colts at 3-5, but right now with tiebreakers, they have third. Is that what you wanted to hear?
That is what I wanted to hear, yep.
So they're third still, but whatever. They've dropped their last four, as I said. Absolutely blown out by a Cowboys team, who we'll talk about later, and then the Chiefs, Texans, and Eagles, who are all decent teams. Is it time for Jacksonville to panic?
We need to work on that so much.
It is time for Jacksonville Jaguars to panic. Blake Bortles is the starting quarterback of an NFL team. He is about the 64th best quarterback in the NFL. Heck, I could pull a guy off the street and he might play better than Blake Bortles. I don't think Blake Bortles should be anywhere near a football. This guy is not an NFL starting quarterback. I will tell you that multiple times. Blake Bortles, as long as he's the starting quarterback of this football team, they can't take it to the Super Bowl where they want to go. And they'll have to rely on this defense, and I think this defense is getting sick and tired of being leaned on with no help from the offense.
Okay, I get what you're saying, Jacob. I get what you're saying.
Stop trying to be nice, Jackson.
I'm not trying to be nice.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be...
Sounds like you are.
Blake Bortles, I would not say he's the worst quarterback in this league. By any means. He... statistically, I mean, team-wise, he's not doing his job, but he's not having a bad season. So we can't discount him on that.
He's having a bad season, but move on.
Well, he has an 81.4 rating.
He's also lost his job to Cody Kessler. But go on. Keep talking.
Fair. Okay. But I don't think that they should be panicking. I think, Jacob, they have a defense that has been struggling, of course, who has been blown out by a Cowboys team. However, that defense is still potentially one of the best defenses in this league if they're all on the same page. Right now, I just think that there's a hiccup in that mental state of mind, kind of like what Baltimore's going through right now. That Jaguars team is so talented with A.J. Boyle.
A.J. Bouye!
Bouye, gotcha, sorry.
Boyle,
A.J. Bouye, Jalen Ramsey, that defensive line with Calais Campbell at the helm.
Okay, cool. Yeah, they have a good defense.
Jacob.
Jackson.
It's Calais.
Fred. You can't say any names. We know they have a good defense. We already stated that.
Their offense
is not good with Blake Bortles. So I'm saying they can't take it to the next level because they rely on this defense, and this defense is getting secondary.
Right, but it shouldn't be panic mode when you're trading assets or you're making Cody Kessler the starter.
Cody Kessler is a better starting quarterback than Blake Bortles.
You're kidding.
Blake Bortles.
Has Cody Kessler ever led a team to the AFC Championship? Are you kidding me?
Are you really making
this argument to me?
It's time for Code Red.
It's time for you to stop.
Okay, Jackson.
Oh my gosh. I can't. Sorry.
Jackson.
It is not panic mode for the Jaguars.
Okay, so Jacksonville, I see you both have decent points. Jackson, you're right. Jacksonville has an elite defense full of playmakers that, while complimented, can step it up. And admittedly, that offense does run better when Leonard Fournette's in, and we haven't seen them with Carlos Hyde yet, and we don't know if Leonard Fournette's coming back. But I do stand with Jacob in the sense of if they have Blake Bortles on that roster, they're not winning a title. And that's what they should be shooting for. In a couple of years, really, this next offseason, that cap situation's going to get ugly in Jacksonville. They've got a tight window to win it, and it is starting to close. So I do see what both your points are. Let's talk about the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, obviously, Monday Night Football last night. They took that L to the Tennessee Titans, who are now second place in the AFC South. But is it time for them to panic down there? Jackson, we'll start with you.
Cowboys, you need to find an identity. You keep going to Dak Prescott and you keep trying to find answers with him, but when you have an elite player like Ezekiel Elliott, when you finally get a good wide receiver besides Dez Bryant on the roster with Amari Cooper, when you have an all-right defense, I don't know how you screwed up against the Tennessee flipping Titans.
Okay, now the Tennessee Titans aren't terrible.
They're not, well, they're 4-4. They're pretty
mediocre.
Are
they good?
And the Cowboys are 3-5.
Well, they are now because they lost.
Yeah. Okay, just go ahead and finish your point.
Okay, thank you. I think that the Cowboys, I'm not quite certain that it's time for panic mode. I think they're in a mediocre ground here, because you can't say that they're good.
Bold, be certain.
All right.
Panic mode,
all
yes
right.
or no?
They should not be panicking at this moment. They finally found a good wide receiver besides Dez Bryant, Amari Cooper, who had a good showing against the Titans. He showed that he has the potential, which a first-round pick should show at first. Dak Prescott had an all right game. And, I mean, you have Ezekiel Elliott, who did amazing for you in the first half. I don't know where he went in the second half, but you look at this Cowboys defense and you look at this Cowboys offense and you see potential. And I think that's where they're at right now. They need to retool. They need to retool badly with their defense, because if the Tennessee Titans can carve you up, then I don't know where you can call yourself a good defense at all. So they need to go reevaluate what they want in a team, an identity, and then they can go from there.
All right, Jacob, what are your thoughts?
I would just like to say that the Dallas Cowboys are not in a good place, and it's time for them to blow it all up.
I want to die.
You know, I think... Be quiet, Jackson. Jackson?
Yes, Jacob?
Be quiet. I would say that, yes, the Dallas Cowboys should be in full panic mode. It's over. It's over this year. It's over. Dak Prescott is a great quarterback. I hate...
Whoa!
Be quiet. Let me finish. I hate that you don't think he is. Their offensive line is despicable. It's a waste of time. They went from a top offensive line to the worst in the league. Whoever their offensive line coach is should go eat dirt. Okay?
Or take notes from Bob Wiley.
Or take notes from Bob Wiley, because Bob Wiley is a goat. Okay? Bob Wiley's a goat. He's a goat. Okay. Please.
Are you done?
The Dallas Cowboys are done. This season
They're
is
done?
Over. The season is over for
They're,
them.
Oh.
This team... This is one of the most disgusting collapses I've ever seen with capable players. Jason Garrett should be gone. Jerry Jones should just flat out fire the whole coaching staff right now and bring in a whole new one in the middle of the season. You should hire all the fire Browns coaches. The whole fire Browns coaches would be better than this team. Their coaches of the Dallas Cowboys should all be fired.
What a Steinbrenner move that would be. I don't know if the fired Cleveland staff would be better than what they have in Dallas. But Jackson, I'll give you a chance to rebut that.
Jacob, you're looking at this team with Amari Cooper, who they just took, Ezekiel Elliott, and Dak Prescott. You're taking that core and you're saying to blow it up.
No,
you're
saying this season is over.
How are you saying that the season is over?
They're not making the playoffs this year.
This was not a good game. It clearly wasn't, but that doesn't mean
you're
that the whole season's gone for crap.
You're telling me the Dallas Cowboys are going to make the playoffs.
I'm going to run through the Cowboys, their schedule that they have left real fast.
Yeah,
they're next.
Win-lose.
All right, we'll do a little win-lose.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Next week, they play at the Eagles.
Loss. Easy.
Loss.
Then they play at the Falcons.
That's a win. The Falcons lost three of their starters this week to injury, and they lost Devontae Freeman so far this year. That's a win for them. Their offensive line's gone.
They have won their last three or four, though.
I think it's a loss.
All right. Redskins at home.
That's a loss.
That's a win.
Oh, that is disgusting.
I think that the emotions in that game is going to run wild. That's a hot take from me. All
right.
That's a little bit
no,
of a
hot yeah,
take
that's a
me.
Super hot take, bro.
A little
oh.
bit of a burner. Saints.
That's
loss.
A loss. Okay, well.
Eagles
so
at home.
6-8. They lost again. 6-9.
Eagles at home. You're
lost
saying
again.
Loss.
And the Eagles beating them twice. The Eagles just
Colts.
Won the division.
Colts.
Win.
That's a loss.
Buccaneers.
That's a loss.
That's a loss.
Yeah, I'm sorry, not lost. That's a win. I'm sorry.
Okay, cool. They're 8-9 now.
Giants. That wait, hold up. You just gave them 19 games.
No,
17
I'm
games
for
in a
Jackson.
Season.
Jackson.
They can't be 8-9. They're 6-9.
6-9. Okay.
And then their last game, they play in New York against the Giants.
That's a win.
That's a win. So they're 7-9. The Eagles, by beating them twice, would already have 6 wins. And I'm telling you for sure, the Eagles are going to win at least 3 more games. Eagles win the division. Redskins take second. The Cowboys, if they, you pick 2 controversial games for them to win for the rest of the season too, then I do not think they will beat the Washington Redskins, and they may not beat the Colts. So I do not think the Cowboys will make the playoffs. It's that easy. They have the Eagles, the Redskins in their division. That's so hard. And you're telling me, you're going to tell
you're
me,
not,
you're telling me the
me
Cowboys, it. You're telling me the Cowboys are going to win their division.
No, they're
okay.
not.
They're going to take the wild card?
But they shouldn't blow up their system because of one bad
Jackson,
year.
I'm not saying
yes,
they should blow up
you
system.
Said that blowing
Wait,
up.
Jackson. I'll recontextualize the question for you.
Okay, please.
It's not about blowing up their system.
Oh, jeez.
Is their season over?
Yes, that's exactly what I said. Their season's
no, you
over.
You said blow it all up.
No, he didn't.
You said that.
I said their season's over. They need to give up this season. They should fire the whole coaching staff. They can still keep the players for next year. They have terrible coaching. This season is over.
I was rebutting the fact I heard Jacob saying, blow it all up, and I took that as saying,
okay.
take your core, trade
viewers,
it all away, start
I would
over.
Like, we will
you
rewind
said,
this afterwards.
All
viewers,
right.
I would like you to recognize, and please wind back on your tapes right now, I did not say that. I said
oh
they should
gosh.
Give up on this season
yeah,
and
okay.
fire the whole coaching staff.
I wouldn't say give up on this season because they still have a young core which need to learn how to play a game. So they're not winning the division.
They're young. They're still going to play their players, bro. Their players are still going to play. Their young core is still going to play in the game.
Yo, is cheesecake a cake or a pie? Right now, go.
Cake.
I don't care. I'm so angry. I'm so angry.
We'll might give you a nice cheesecake after the show.
I can't. I have Crohn's disease.
All right, moving up. You can get a gluten-free one or something, right?
It has dairy in it.
All right, anyway, let's move on. Rams-Saints was a fantastic game and is possibly indicative of who the best team in football right now is. So I'm going to ask you guys that question.
Oh, yeah, it's the Saints, no question. I think the Saints...
shush! No I'm question. Not done. I'm not done.
Wait.
You 2 minutes in the penalty box. 2 minutes in
Let
the penalty box.
Let me finish, bro.
You shut your mouth.
Yeah, it's the
two
Saints.
Minutes.
Jacob.
Totally.
Jacob.
They have the best offense Jacob. In the NFL and
hey.
The best defense. And I think, psych! It's the Rams!
2 minutes. You don't get to talk in the next 2 minutes. Jackson, I want to continue. Please, tell me... Stop it! Tell me your thoughts on the game, and then who you think the best team in football is. Jacob, your 2 minutes start now. Go.
So, the Saints and the Rams, this was a very highly anticipated game. Most of people would say this was like seeing who was the top of the NFC at this point. For me, it was a very disappointing showing for the Rams, as their biggest asset was their defense coming into this game. I thought, at least on an observation.
Oh, this is torture.
Hey! 30 more seconds. Quiet. Quiet. Go.
The Rams did not show up with their defense today. I mean, on Sunday. The Saints, having an elite offense, took advantage of that. And Todd Gurley, they shut down Todd Gurley, which was surprising for the Saints defense. I didn't think they would be able to do that. But to me, still clear-cut, Rams is the top. It was just an off game for them. And congrats to the Saints. They played an amazing game. They torched a Rams defense who isn't used to that. Most clearly, as they were a little bit frazzled.
All right.
Everything they did, it's
all right. I'm going to give a few... Shut your mouth. I'm going to give a few thoughts that... You are about ready to get about 5 minutes, all right?
Okay, I'm back in.
No, you're not back in.
Okay,
you're going to sit here quietly.
No.
You're going to let me give my thoughts on the game, and then
no.
you're going to come in. You got about a minute left.
No.
Yes.
Okay, you go.
All right.
Go ahead.
I was very impressed with how the New Orleans offense played this game.
Yes.
I think Sean Payton showed that he is still the premier offensive-minded football, more so than Sean McVay. The way that he managed to use all of his players and playmakers they have on that team, especially players like Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, who went off. I was incredibly impressed by this team. It was a statement win for New Orleans. These two teams are now fighting on top of the NFC, who sees who's going to get that one seed. I anticipate them both finishing as the one and two seeds. I'm not quite sure about the order yet, but they're going to get those byes. But it doesn't matter. Because I think at this point, with the way teams have been playing, that the New England Patriots are the scariest team in football. Did you watch that game? They owned the Packers. They owned them. They've owned lots of the teams they've been playing this year, and I think they're only going to get better as the season goes along. They struggled at the beginning of the year, but the last couple of years, the Patriots have always struggled at the beginning of the year. They come back and they respond emphatically. My hot take, the Patriots aren't going to lose a game for the rest of the regular season. They're going to go in 14-2, and they're going to go to the Super Bowl. Alright. You ready to have a civil-ish discussion? Jump in here, Masick. What are your thoughts on the game? And who's the best team in football?
I am horrified.
Good. By your behavior?
By the fact that you have silenced me on this matter. That's absolutely disgusting. And I am considering not coming back on this show.
Good.
That is terrible.
All right.
It is a terrible thing. The Rams are the second best team in football. The third best team?
Who?
Huh. The Chiefs. The first best team in football is
Browns.
The New England Patriots.
Okay, what I said.
The New England Patriots are the best teams in the NFL. I am horrified that anyone would think the Saints are the best team right now. Their defense is not as good. They beat the Rams because the Rams came into the game and were not focused and were not ready, and they got down 35-14, and they're like, we're so sorry, man. We have to come back. Playing the catch-up game against the Saints is not a great idea. Drew Brees is a beast. I will give him that. But Sean Payton, I still hate you. Alvin Kamara, go eat your Skittles somewhere else.
Isn't Marshawn Lynch the guy who eats Skittles? Is that like a thing I've missed? Has Alvin Kamara slowly shifted to become Skittles man?
He has, yes.
All right, I completely missed that. So I guess props to him.
He did. You haven't been watching very closely.
All right. So let's talk a little bit and just wrap up about the weekend. We're going to do some winners and losers. So you guys pick a couple of players or teams that you think really won the weekend or really needed to get it and didn't. We'll start with Jacob. Jacob, go ahead.
I don't think I want to start on this one. Okay. I think I'd rather just hear about some losers from Jackson. So, Jackson. All
right, fine, Jackson. Winners and losers.
You know how losing works, so go ahead.
Oof.
And so do you this week, so...
Yeah. Just go.
I think the loser would be for this week, Washington Redskins. Washington being on the top of the division in the NFC East. They had high hopes in this game against a struggling Atlanta offense and defense. Atlanta proved them wrong horribly, just destroying them 38-14. Washington has a lot of questions to address after this week. They are my official loser of the week.
You're right. The Falcons have now won 3 in a row to confirm that. They are 4-4, and they are right back in the thick of things for the wild card and are still a dangerous team in the NFC. Did you have a winner at all?
Yeah. My winner was definitely the Bears. Their defense really showed up. It's been kind of mediocre these past few weeks, being leaning on the offense with Mitchell Trubisky, being efficient at the passing and finding his receivers and such. So this week against the Buffalo Bills, although it's not a very strong matchup, I think against a team that beat the Vikings, it shouldn't be underrated. So the Bears quelling any arguments that they had that the Buffalo Bills were even having an inkling of an upset, efficiently stopped those, beating the Bills 41-9. So I think that's my winner of the week.
All right, I'm going to get to mine. And for my winner, I'm going to do 3 winners, and I'm going to call out 3 wide receivers who I was extremely impressed by. Adam Humphries, Tampa Bay. 8 receptions, 82 yards, 2 big touchdowns. They didn't end up winning that game, but Humphries was very good. Obviously, we know Michael Thomas, but that celebration honoring Joe Horn like that, that was very impressive. I liked that a lot. And then my last winner I'm going to call out, Maurice Harris. Maurice Harris from the Washington Redskins, 10 receptions, 124 yards. I don't think I'd ever heard of him before this game, but hey, now I know his name. That's pretty cool. My losers for the week, I'm going to go with Sam Darnold, a quarterback who I'm a fan of, but threw 4 interceptions against the Dolphins in an extremely winnable game for the Jets. The Dolphins only scored 13 points. The defense showed out. Darnold didn't play NFL-level football in this game, and he's a kid who I think will end up becoming very good in the NFL.
Bust.
But if he's going to keep throwing throws like that, they aren't going anywhere. That team is not going anywhere. And then I think the biggest loser of the weekend ended up losing his job, but Chargers kickers. Chargers kickers are always kind of the loser, but you know, this week especially so, Caleb Sturgis missed a field goal, missed 2 extra point attempts, got released today. I think just there's no bigger loser than being a Los Angeles Chargers kicker. Mm-hmm. Jacob, you go ahead. Oh my god. Why are you playing the Tron soundtrack? Stop playing the Tron soundtrack.
Get the point, Jacob.
I am back from imprisonment by Logan.
You were back before!
I would just like to say that I will express my opinion for you viewers no matter how much haters try to silence you.
I'm doing a podcast with a 12-year-old child!
Okay, Logan, please be quiet. That's 5 minutes in the corner.
No, you're not in charge.
Here we go. I am in charge. Here we go. Let's go. Winners from this week. Cortland Sutton from the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, baby.
Cortland Sutton from the Denver Broncos looked like a baller. The Demaryius Thomas trade, even though Demaryius Thomas had a pretty decent game, it looked pretty good. And I would just like to say the Denver Broncos should have won that football game. They should have won that football game. Brandon McManus shanked a field goal.
I'm convinced that Brandon McManus missed that field goal on purpose so he can speed up the Vance Joseph get out of town train, and I'm totally on board with that. But go ahead, sorry.
You're forgiven. Cortland Sutton, a winner from this weekend. He looked entirely dominant out there on multiple of his catches, and his route running was amazing. I would just like to say I was very impressed with him. And that Demaryius Thomas, he making that Demaryius Thomas trade look actually pretty decent right now. Good trade for the Texans, but this may actually work out for the Broncos. Give Cortland Sutton more time in the field, more catches, more development. And next year, they might be able to build around him. They could attract more stars to get around a young guy who they think has a lot of potential. Losers from the weekend, the Dallas Cowboys. I've already spoke on them. Absolutely horrified by the lack of preparation, and it just looked awful out there with play calling and everything. I would just like to say the one play they called that was good was the Amari Cooper goal line play, and he ran a fantastic route. I would just like to say they were just not ready for some of the stuff that was thrown at them. And I think it's a failure on the part of the coaches. The coaching staff did not call good plays. They're running a lot of check downs, and that allows the defense to come up closer to the line of scrimmage, and then when they run the ball, it's easier to stop Ezekiel Elliott then. So they're opening up no field and holes for Ezekiel Elliott. And I think it's just a terrible move. Jerry Jones, it's time to pull the plug on the Jason Garrett experiment. He's done. Winner this weekend, the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots have reestablished themselves as the best team in the NFL, and that is partly due to their game plan and just how Bill Belichick has used people. I don't think I need to talk that long on this. We all know Bill Belichick has always been good at this, but I am super impressed with how he's used Cordarrelle Patterson in the absence of Sony Michel. Rumor has it Sony Michel is coming back next week. I'm excited to see how it goes, but I think Patterson will remain in some capacity in there for some place for screenplays and that type of thing. But I think Michel is obviously the running back of the future, with James White playing more of the role Patterson is playing right now, with more of the pass-catching role that Patterson is playing right now. I think James White will get a lot more of the carries, and Patterson will be a little phased out of the rotation there. But I think just the way they prepared, and that I just can't get over that play.
Are you recording something?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
It's going right now.
Yeah.
Okay, how long are you going to be in here?
I'd say like 20, 30 minutes more.
Okay, well, for the future, this is a music practice room specifically. There are instruments in here that people don't have access to if you guys are
okay.
In here. So in the future, please don't be in here for like this.
Okay, sorry. Somebody told us we could do it in here, but we'll make sure we clear that with you guys.
No, that's okay. Just so long as for the future, we're good.
Thank you, man. Mm-hmm. Cut that up, start it again. Just give it like 3 seconds.
Dude,
that's
live.
It's not.
Oh, it's live.
Over. Yeah, I know. Just cut it over. You're fine. Go.
Yeah, and I think that the Patriots are the best team, and they should be on top. They're definitely the best team in the NFL this season.
All right, let's move on. Talk about some more football. College football. The season is winding down. We're getting closer to the end, and we're finding out which teams are real contenders and real pretenders. The standings just came out last week, but we obviously haven't got the new college football ones. But I want to ask you guys about a couple of teams that have caught your eye, and then we're going to project our four teams to the playoff. And obviously, I don't want to talk about Alabama and Clemson, who have looked absolutely insane and are essentially, at this point, kind of locks. I want you guys to focus on a few other teams who are up there. I'm going to cut it off. If you look at your AP 25 poll, I'm going to cut it off at UCF because I like UCF. The other teams on there are realistic contenders. Who's caught your eye?
Do you want to start this off?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah,
easily, I don't have to talk very long about Alabama. Alabama will win the college football playoff this year easily. They will not be contested at all.
I just said don't talk about Alabama, but whatever.
UCF made the playoffs. We have to talk about Alabama. Alabama's number one. Unless UCF is put in the playoff, I don't see a team that will actually challenge them. I don't believe Clemson's deep enough this year to challenge them as the number two team right now, and Clemson's the only other undefeated team.
Notre Dame is still undefeated. Notre Dame is 9-0.
Okay, Notre Dame should not be 9-0. They should have lost already. They got away with one.
But they are 9-0.
But Notre Dame does not pose a challenge to Alabama, so we can throw them aside. Neither does LSU. LSU obviously doesn't. Michigan does not. I would say Georgia would be a team that I would watch out for. I think they'll sneak into the playoff this year, and they are actually very talented on the defensive end. And Georgia's ready to go. And I'd say Washington State, a team that wasn't relevant for a while, has actually come into the fold here a little bit. So I would say the playoff that I would like to see is Alabama, Georgia, Washington State, and UCF. But it's very unlikely that that will happen in that case. But I believe those are the four teams that will give the best games and may even challenge Alabama. But I would say in the top four right now, Alabama will win every game by more than 14 points. It will not even be a competitive game.
Including national title, SEC championship, you're including all that?
Yes.
Okay. I think you're a little low on a lot of other teams. Michigan lost their first game this year to Notre Dame, a good Notre Dame team, and hasn't lost since, has looked very good. They're going to have a huge game to end the year against Ohio State. I think that game, the winner of that will end up going to the Big Ten championship. I think the winner of that game makes the college football playoff. I anticipate them either going in as the 3 or the 4. Notre Dame's got a pretty easy schedule through the rest of the year, so I think they're going to end up finishing undefeated as well as Alabama and Clemson. It's hard for other teams like Georgia. Georgia's a very good football team. If you watch them, they might be more talented than Notre Dame, but they dropped that one game against, who'd they lose to? Kentucky, I think? No, they beat Kentucky. But LSU, they dropped a game against LSU, a good LSU team, and that's going to come back to bite them in the butt because they're not going to beat Alabama in the SEC championship, which is going to make them a 2-loss team. Oklahoma, West Virginia at 6-7, two very good teams out of the Big 12, but I don't think they're going to be able to pass up Michigan, especially if they have that Ohio State, vice versa, whether they have that big win on their resume after the Michigan-Ohio State game. So I think the playoff is going to stay as it stands right now. Alabama at 1, Clemson at 2, Notre Dame at 3. Michigan, I think, is going to beat Ohio State and lock up that 4 spot.
Right. I would have to say I agree with Logan completely here. Michigan has been outstanding this season, coming 8 wins in a row, coming off of a loss of a Notre Dame team. I don't think that anyone saw Notre Dame coming out of the way they have been. I mean, that's clear from Jacob's reaction from this. So, looking at this, I'm going to have to say, it's hard for me to argue with the top 4 that are there, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan. A person that might be able to challenge that would be Ohio State. I think they have a lot of firepower on that team. Just won't be able to overcome Jim Harbaugh's team there in Michigan.
And I think you're right. UCF is a good team. There is no way UCF is making the playoffs unless just about every other team loses because they don't have that strength of schedule. They're playing close games against Memphis, and while they're still winning those games, and I'm sure Memphis is a good team, I've watched them play one game, and it was the UCF game, that's not going to look good to a committee that's looking to put good teams in. Mm-hmm. They're going to think, oh, UCF's going to lose pretty bad. It's not going to be an entertaining game. It's not Their record isn't indicative of the amount of talent they have on that team compared to other teams. So I don't think UCF is going to make it as much as I want them to. Mm-hmm. I really want UCF to make it, but it's just not going to happen realistically. Any other points you guys want to make before we move on to a little debate here?
No, that's all from me. Jacob?
That's it.
All right. All right, so we're going to do a little three-way debate here on a question that I find kind of interesting. There's been a lot of depressing cities in sports history, and I want to see who we think is the most depressing of all the cities, except for one minor caveat. I'm going to exclude the city of Cleveland, because the city of Cleveland has gone through enough. And everybody knows about it, and it's the easy way out. I don't want us to take the easy way out here. I want us to do some hard-hitting analysis on this, and I want us to pick who we think I guess you could say the second most depressing city in sports is, but I'm just going to choose to say the most depressing city in sports. Cleveland got their title. They're fine. So we'll start with Jackson. Jackson, who do you think the most depressing city in sports is?
To start this off, the Buffalo Bills are the second...
They're not a city.
I'm sorry.
Are you picking the city of Buffalo?
That is my horrible mistake. Buffalo is a very depressing city to be playing sports for because they have the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres, only two teams playing professional sports. Back in the day, they had a little bit more, but they all moved away, so we're not going to talk about those. So
you can talk about those. Those can be part of your argument. You don't have to make it. You're right. Buffalo's depressing enough, but go ahead.
All right, so I'll start with the Buffalo Bills real quick. Actually, no. I'll start with the Sabres because they're pretty cut and dry. The Sabres really haven't done anything in their 30-year existence. Coming in 1970, they've only made two Stanley Cup appearances, both of which losing in horrible amounts to both the Flyers and the Flames, I want to say. I have to double-check that. But nevertheless, they have never won a Stanley Cup title, which is very depressing looking at their last 5 years, as they have finished 8th place in the Atlantic Division 4 times. And the other year, they finished 7th. So, when looking at hope, the Buffalo Sabres are definitely not the team to choose. Now, the Buffalo Bills. Sure, they had their playoff run last year. Tyrod Taylor, their Lord and Savior, bringing them to a 7-9 record and giving them a wild card spot, which they immediately were destroyed. Now, the Buffalo Bills this year have proven to be one of the worst performing offenses in the league today, being 32nd in the majority of categories, and quite frankly, one of the worst teams in the league. However, they did beat the Vikings, but being a Buffalo fan, it's not very fun, especially since Vontae Davis, being one of the players not believing in the organization, retired at halftime. Josh Allen coming out with some really racist tweets before he was drafted, quoting on Twitter. I'm paraphrasing, but excuse me for that. If it ain't white, it ain't right. When opening up his own white restaurant in rebellion for all the Chinese restaurants being opened in the area, which is very, very questionable for me and makes me
very,
not
very
like,
racist for him.
Does not very much improve his repertoire for me. Josh Rosen is the GOAT. No, I'm kidding. But I'm kidding. Josh, this team has not had much luck in drafting these past few years. I have not heard of a player that's really taken this team by the horns, per se, and made it their own. Hopefully Josh Allen is the answer for them. I don't think he is, but hope is all that Buffalo can hold on to now. And quite frankly, when you think of the Buffalo Bills, if you're asking your grandparents, or maybe even your dad, they will say that the Buffalo Bills were the only team in NFL history to lose 4 consecutive Super Bowls. 4 of them, consecutively. You did not hear that wrong. So, the Buffalo Bills, I would say, besides Cleveland, are the most depressing city in sports, period.
All right, we'll go with me next. And you're right, Buffalo's got some things going for them pretty negatively, like the 4 consecutive Super Bowls. But I want to ask you, do you remember the last year the San Diego sports team made it to any like Super Bowl, World Series, NBA championship? Exactly. San Diego, the last time they won a professional title was the 1963 AFL championship. That was before we even had Super Bowls. They haven't won a Super Bowl. They haven't won a World Series. They haven't won an NBA title. And you're going to be thinking like, oh, you know, they've never really had an NBA team. Well, they did. They had an NBA team for 6 years. Only 6 years. The team that moved from Buffalo because they weren't getting enough fan support got that fan support in San Diego. And the worst owner in NBA history, you had to suffer 6 years of Donald Sterling, before he decided to move you to LA to become the Lakers' less successful brother, younger brother. So you dealt with 6 years of Donald Sterling, which you might think is punishment enough. And then you had to have another team swept out from under you so recently in the Chargers. And that was not a good split. They were a team on the up and up. They were going to start going places. That team is very good. And now nobody can support that team because of the way they left. It's such a hateful situation. And they can't move back is the sad thing. Like, I think all of us kind of want them to move back.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the Rams, you think, Los Angeles Rams. And then you look at the Los Angeles Chargers and you're like, still feels like that team should be back in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And that's because they should still be back in San Diego. But now they can't come back. And it's so sad. And then you have the Padres, who are always kind of letting you down. The eternal champion of the offseason from 2014. Look, there's very little to no hope for them now. That's a team with some promise. But those teams in the past, they've never unlocked them. You think this team is? No. They're the forgotten basement dweller in the AL West, or the NL West. There's no shot they're getting a scrap of attention until young guys become decent and they can start losing wild card games. This is a city that it might not be the first that come to mind with misery, but they're currently, I believe, the city that's got the longest wait for a title in a professional sport ever after Cleveland won their title. And that's not going to end anytime soon. All right, Jacob, you're up.
Yeah, so excellent points there made.
Thanks.
I think you guys hit it right. Both of you hit it right on the old knob. Detroit would be my team. I mean, my city. Detroit would be my city. I know it's a little unusual. You don't hear that a lot. But the Red Wings right now are 4-8. And I know the Pistons are kind of successful. But statistics have shown that the people in Detroit are most attracted to the Tigers and the Lions as their teams. And let me tell you, I cannot name a person on the Tigers roster other than, of course, we all know who.
Nick
Miguel
Castellanos? Michael Fulmer?
The Detroit Lions have been terrible. They failed to win a playoff game since 1991. And they have a winless season in 2008. They have poor drafting decisions, and the future does not look bright for them. I would just say that the Detroit Lions have not kept up with the rest of the NFL, and the Tigers have been extremely disappointing the last couple years. I would just say the two teams that are most dear to people in Detroit are really failing them right now, and really some of them may try to turn to the Red Wings, but the Red Wings are having an awful season too. So, tough situation in Detroit.
All right. I want to argue your 2 points. Because you're right, Buffalo has had their fair share of losing. But my whole thing with them is they've at least been there. They've at least made it to 4 Super Bowls. They've at least had decent hockey teams. LA has had mediocre to okay teams, but they haven't gotten close. They haven't gotten close. And then they watched their good team, a team that can definitely contend for a Super Bowl this year, they watched it walk away. Buffalo's never going to have to watch that anymore because they got the Pegula dude, Terry Pegula, something Pegula, to come in and save them. That, I don't think it's comparable to the pain that San Diego felt because they've had to watch teams go.
I think Buffalo is the worst sports city.
I think they're the worst, but I'd argue they don't feel enough pain.
I would argue Buffalo is the most miserable
sports. I'd argue that they wouldn't be miserable because they drink away their pain.
How far are you going back? Are you going like 50 years back?
Okay, I'm going to go to you now. Detroit? Detroit's made 2 World Series in the
2000s. Oh, okay, cool.
The Tigers have 4 MLB championships.
They're still a miserable sports city.
The Red Wings were an absolute dynasty. They only now fell.
They're not.
Do you
more.
Know how many championships the Red Wings have? They're insane.
Cool. The Detroit is not a good sports city.
You've had
to live
two
in right now.
Great teams.
It's not a great sports city to live in right now. You can right now. Are you gonna argue?
We're arguing ever.
Well, that Cleveland wasn't specified
would win
at the
because
beginning
Cleveland's
of this.
Been awful.
We weren't looking for a sports, the worst miserable sports city ever. We were looking for the miserable.
We were looking
city
for
to
the
live
world's
in.
Most miserable sports city. I thought
yes.
It was a. I thought
and
it
right
was a
now,
natural
the world's
jump.
Most miserable sports city is Buffalo.
No.
Second's Atlanta. Third is Detroit.
Atlanta.
Yes, Atlanta's the second most.
Get out of here with that.
Yep.
Atlanta just had a team make the playoffs. I mean, they've got the Braves.
They almost won a Super
yeah.
Bowl.
Whoa. They got a decent team.
Whoa.
The Falcons made the playoffs last year. They made a Super Bowl 2 years
yeah, but
ago.
You're changing
the
conversation. The
Hawks have been decent very recently.
I'm making the point that if you're changing the conversation to forever or like the last 50 years, this is the rankings for the last 50 years.
We're making the rankings.
I just gave the rankings for the 50
No, you
years.
Didn't.
Yes.
According
I'm
to
telling
what?
You what they
according
are.
To what?
I'm telling you, because I'm telling you what it is.
That
that's
doesn't make it official.
I'm telling you it
It's all a matter of opinion. That's what
I'm
we're fighting.
I'm telling you, it changes the whole entire rankings if you add the word last 50 years, which you did not add. So I had assumed that you were saying right now what would be the worst city to live in.
We
I'm
both argued
Detroit.
History. We both argued history.
Yeah, I'm saying Detroit.
Did you not? Okay. Go make your case with Detroit, but argue history.
I don't
we're
want
both
to argue
using
history
it.
With Detroit.
Why not?
Detroit is
because
one of the
they
worst, most miserable sports cities.
You've had too much success. You can't win. Detroit loses. I mean, we can take an impartial vote on it, but like I'm gonna say Detroit, it finished last. It's not impartial. I don't care. Detroit has had success. Your points are based off of current history. Last couple of years,
Detroit
but they've had decent
miserable
teams.
Sports city to live in.
Right now, but
right,
they've had
yeah.
historical success.
Okay, cool.
The San Diego is
cool.
A team that just
cool.
kinda...
move to Detroit. Talk about the past. Go talk about the past. Move to Detroit.
They will. That's
San
Diego
has been constantly nut punched, and they keep getting nut punched.
You should move to Detroit right now and go talk to them about their great past. I bet they'll be happy.
Go talk to San Diego
about
what the crap that they're going through. Talk to Buffalo. They're terrible sports
teams. Oh, Buffalo
teams.
Is terrible. I already said Buffalo's. Terrible.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just making the point where, like...
Buffalo is awful, whether in the past or now. Buffalo, either way, should be in the top of the conversation.
I wouldn't put the Falcons over the San Diego City.
I think...
I would put
St. Louis over San Diego.
Why?
Yes.
What?
Because the Cardinals are... They're very high expectations.
They won World Series,
they did,
bro.
They won one.
They still...
Yes.
They've got recent history, though.
Was never good
that's,
for all
were,
the years around that.
What are you
what?
Talking about?
Yes.
St. Louis,
oh my
they were
goodness.
Perennial playoff. They were a perennial playoff
oh my
team
goodness.
For years.
I'm not even
going to
talk about this. The Rams left, too. I'm not even going to talk
go,
about this.
Go,
hold on,
okay.
Hold on.
I will agree with you on the Rams leaving.
I am. I'm just going to leave this conversation. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I was misinformed as to the conversation, so maybe you guys should have this conversation.
No, Jacob,
go ahead.
Please.
We said it
no,
was
go
the,
ahead. I'm out. I'm not
the
saying
discussion
no
was the most miserable sports city of all time, and just because you misinterpreted the question, okay,
I
fine.
Did not misinterpret the question. I gave a good answer to the question.
You gave
thinking.
A good answer, but then you're right, trashing
ours
for using history.
Ahead. Talk with Jackie right, about
whatever.
This team.
Look up St. Louis Cardinals.
I'm
tell me how many
right
years
now.
In a row they made the playoffs.
MLB playoffs. Let's get it.
Buffalo is a team that they've had a lot of, obviously, a lot of pain go through there. But just, my whole point is loyalty. Those Buffalo teams may not be good, but at least they're loyal. They're never going to treat their fans to the problem, the pain of relocation. Because there's a fan base there. But San Diego had that fan base. And regardless, they still got stepped
okay,
on.
Okay, Sacramento and Philadelphia are worst historical teams also.
Philadelphia just got a freaking Super Bowl.
What are you talking about? Yes, they did, but I'm saying you're talking historical.
We're talking about...
Okay, they just got a Super Bowl for 50 years before that they sucked. The Sixers sucked.
Okay.
The last time the Sixers were good was when Julius Irving was freaking playing basketball.
But that was... They were dominant still back then, though. With Julius Irving...
Julius Irving's passed the time.
They had the 80s. Oh. They made a freaking NBA Finals with Allen Iverson.
Cool. They're, and
they
lost.
They had great players.
And
they had
lost.
Decent teams.
And they lost.
San Diego hasn't had any of
and
that because all of it's got moved.
They lost.
Are you,
okay,
are you
about,
changing
Flyers,
your city?
The Flyers haven't been good in a long
hearing.
Time.
The Lions?
The Sixers.
He's talking
the
about
Sixers got good, wait, and now they're struggling now. So I would say the Sixers had 2 years where they're good, and now they're struggling at this moment.
And historically, they've been bad. So don't even come to me with, oh, they won a Super Bowl last year, if you're talking historically. Cool, they won a Super Bowl last year. What did they do other than that?
They've made the playoffs.
Thank you.
They were.
Thank
they
you.
Made a couple of Super
Talk
Bowls.
About your team.
Andy Reid was a good coach
How
for them.
How are the Broncos doing?
Well, I'm not discussing that. I'm discussing San Diego.
I'm not discussing
Do you
that
have
either.
Any other points
what,
you can
what
make?
What teams in San Diego?
I have, well,
exactly, all the moved.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's nothing there right now. So why?
See, like, I could pick Seattle, because Seattle got screwed over when the Sonics left, and now they've got a Mariners team that can't make the playoffs, and there's nothing there. But I chose San Diego, because San Diego has had it ripped out multiple times. All right, any
I would
other...
argue the Padres haven't had a terrible past there. They won a World Series in 1984, 1996. They won the Divisional Series in 1984. They won the League... championship series.
I'm
so
sorry.
I can bring up. I can
in,
bring up championships
too. In 1894, they won the
nope,
league championship 19. Series.
2006, they won the divisional series versus the St. Louis Cardinals,
which made the playoffs. NLDSs don't mean squat.
And they beat the New York Yankees in the playoffs.
Winning the NL, beating the Yankees and winning an NLDS. Excuse my language.
They
doesn't
won,
mean shit.
They won the World Series.
10 push-ups.
Okay.
I get it.
10 push-ups. They won the World Series versus the Yankees. They beat them.
When?
Take 10 push-ups, 1998. Boom. Sit down.
See, Buffalo hasn't won anything ever.
Oh, they beat the Atlanta Braves in 1998. I can bring up random facts.
Hey, just for the point that we were trying to make earlier, you said that the Cardinals sucked. They have won 11 World Series titles, 19 NL pennants, 4 AA pennants, 10 Central Division titles, and 3 Eastern
yes,
Division
and
titles.
And I have already pointed out what the misunderstanding of me in the question was, so thanks for bringing that
the,
up again.
The
I
Padres
I was
won
just,
two
I was
pennants.
It up.
What? I appreciate that. Thank
and
you.
And won a World Series.
No, I actually do appreciate that.
Okay, that's good.
Yes.
No, they haven't won a World Series.
I
the Padres haven't won any World Series.
They lost in the World Series. They won the Divisional Series.
Then that's painful. They haven't even... They've made it once.
Oh my gosh, I can talk about any team then. The Cardinals made it 11 times. You just said they won
but
11 times.
But the Cardinals
times.
Have won it 11 times.
Yeah, they won the Division Series 11 times, and then they proceeded to lose in the World Series. Okay,
how many
it's
World
painful.
Series titles do the Cardinals have?
11.
Yeah.
11 World Series titles.
Cool.
Okay.
You can't just go bring up the pain a city has from losing the World Series when the Cardinals have lost in the World Series more times than the Padres have.
They've won it, though.
But they've
okay, cool. You can't,
like,
you
they've
can't bring
made
up,
it there.
You can't
but
bring
they...
up that point. You can't make that point.
Yes,
of,
I can.
Of the pain in the World Series because it's happened
okay,
to the more.
Are you saying that, like, Tom Brady's, the fan base of Tom Brady, are feeling more pain than the Browns because
Tom
they've
Brady's
lost
made more
Tom
Super Bowls and lost?
And lost more Super Bowls than the Browns have
no,
even
No, but that's
made?
The point he just made.
No, it's
he
not.
He said it's painful because San Diego went to the series and lost, which is exactly what
the whole thing
said.
With my point is based on is that San Diego's made one.
Okay,
San
cool.
Diego hasn't
San
had the
oppor- one
San Diego has San Diego hasn't had the opportunities that St. Louis has had.
St.
Louis,
has,
get, has gotten there a ton of times.
Okay, cool.
And so, yeah, it hurts when
how
you lose one,
qualify?
But you got 11 to go to
how
sleep
does,
with. San Diego's got nothing.
How does San Diego qualify for this? I don't even understand.
Why?
They okay, cool.
The in the same way that I told you
bad.
Seattle would have qualified.
San Diego's haven't even gotten the opportunity a lot with a lot of teams.
Okay, name one thing San Diego's won. Name
oh.
one professional title besides the AFL one I told you.
Oh my goodness, Logan, their teams left.
Exactly!
That doesn't make them
that's
a bad
painful.
City. That just means the teams had an opportunity to make more revenue.
We're talking about the most depressing city, though. Like,
that's
the,
depressing.
Like, the most... Like the, it's,
when
no.
a team leaves,
like,
that's depressing.
If you're a fan in that city, Jacob, which city would you say... And, like, that's a valid point. If you're a Detroit
Let me look
fan,
up.
I mean...
All right.
Yeah.
San Diego, the number of people that probably care about sports are a lot less than I'm thinking you're saying right now.
No, San Diego's a very special, very powerful
yeah,
fan base.
They have a lot of great
look,
numbers,
look
yeah.
I don't think anybody's beaten Buffalo. I would still pick Buffalo.
Exactly what I said
this.
At the beginning. San Diego's second best team is the San Diego State Aztecs.
Exactly, it's a college team! But I'm gonna...
yeah, they're good.
I'm gonna give the argument to Jackson. Like, I would say Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson went 100%. Don't even at me.
So,
thank you.
Let's wrap this
You're
up.
God.
Let's wrap this up by talking about one more thing before me and Jacob fight in the parking lot after the show. College basketball starts tonight, baby.
Woo!
Hoop up. Pick some of the games that you're interested in watching. What stands out
Jackson's
to you tonight? What
it.
Teams?
Yeah,
you
I got. For? I got teams.
Pick some teams. Let's go.
It might be a little bit. I don't know. The most popular pick, but I like Duke in Kentucky tonight. I mean,
who doesn't?
The number two seed and number four seed. I mean, sorry.
The
rankings. Carolina
fans.
The two and the four ranks are going against each other. We're finally seeing Zion Williamson in his first college game, seeing a Duke team through their practice footage being just electric, to find a better word. I mean, I'm very excited for this. Kentucky's always been a solid basketball team. Duke's always been a solid, like, losing all those players in the draft, like Grayson Allen.
Marvin Bagley,
Marvin
Grayson
Bagley.
Allen.
Like, I'm just saying, it's going to be really interesting to see how
Trent?
The Duke
Junior.
Team is.
Junior.
He's in the NBA, though.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I'm very excited for that matchup tonight.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of good matchups, not just to point out that and the other obvious one, which is Kansas-Michigan State. Florida State opened the season against each other. That is a huge rivalry game,
yeah,
and I think
sure.
It's going to show out. I'm excited to see UCLA play Fort Wayne, and I'm also really excited to see Nevada play BYU tonight. Keep watching those rankings. There are a lot of good teams up there.
No, I'm sorry, what game are you picking?
Okay, the game I'm most excited for is Florida State, but we're just talking about it. And I'm saying watch Purdue this year. Purdue might make some noise. Carson Edwards, great player. Anyway, go ahead. What do you want to look at?
I think you already mentioned it. I'm most excited to see.
Sorry.
You mentioned all of the games, actually. I would say Michigan State and Kansas. That is a great game, great rivalry. And this year they have amazing teams. Both of them do. I'm very excited to see who gets on top because it's no matter the rankings every year, it's unpredictable who wins that game. There's been many upsets in that game, and it's just a game that usually comes down to the wire. So you're bound to have a good game there. I'm excited because Kansas is ranked number one. Maybe the number one team will go down on the first night. That would be kind of very exciting. Michigan State's very good. I'm excited to see what Auburn can do this year, too, as a team. They looked pretty decent last year, and now they're highly rated. But the most excited team I'm excited for is the two twins out of Nevada. I'm extremely excited. They played seven people in their games last year and went to the Sweet 16 because most of their guys got kicked off the team or suspended before the season. And I think that attracts more talent to Nevada for the freshman incoming class. And I think you better watch out for those twins and their incoming class this year.
They're a deeper team. They are a scary team.
Yes. I would agree with you on Purdue and UCLA. I would say that those two, and then Michigan, I would say, are an easy team that could surprise you. I would say Gonzaga is ranked a little high for my thing. I think Duke and Kentucky are better than Gonzaga here in the rankings.
I think Duke should
be the number one team in the rankings as of right now. They're the best team. I think Kentucky should be the second. I don't think Kansas is as good as people are saying right now. And I would argue Virginia, I would argue Nevada will climb in the rankings by the end of the season.
All right. That's fair. A lot of good games tonight and the next couple of days. We'll see what happens. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you want to let us know. Oh, God.
We almost got it.
Welcome to Crohn's Disease Corner. This week, we have some wonderful stories. Yes, they're very wonderful. I just want to let you know our first submission today. So in my junior year of high school, I got a project to make a roller coaster for my physics class. Everything was going fine until the day my partner and I had to paint the thing. We were in my garage spraying and painting the tubes, and these two guys come marching up to the house across the street and start yelling at the top of their lungs, beating on the door. Now let me say in my defense, the neighborhood I lived in was in South Minneapolis, and it's still not a safe place. Well, I called the police, closed the garage, and parked myself in front of the dining room window. Long story short, the police showed up in full gear, broke down the door, and brought out the two boys at gunpoint. And that's the story of how my entire block found out that the abandoned house had new owners. Okay, well, obviously that one is a wonderful story. I would just go to the next
great.
One. Okay, so one time when I was really little, I had a best friend who was kind of strange. So my mom got a call one day asking if she was over at my house because they couldn't find her. And so they call again about 2 hours later to ask her if we could help look for her. And so about 3 hours of looking, we had basically covered the entire neighborhood, and they were about to call the police. And we decided to check their house one more time. And my mom went into her room and found her completely naked and sleeping on top of the super tall shelf in her closet.
Hold up. What?
The daughter was sleeping completely naked in the top shelf of her closet, and they could not find her. So I have this health teacher who is really insane about exercise. This woman has done Ironman triathlons and talks about going to the YMCA at 5 a.m. Yeah, she's crazy. Basically, we have this project to pick a health goal to do for a month. Think like drinking water or doing squats. For what you need some motivation. So we were talking about physical things to reward ourselves with. She decided to tell us about her sporting goods fetish, where she goes into a store and buys a bunch of gear like they were books. In the middle of this, she suddenly goes, I really like dicks. Realizing what she had just said, she turned red and in a more quiet voice goes, please don't tell me. Please don't tell your parents. Let me just rephrase that. In the middle of this, she suddenly goes, I really like dicks. Realizing what she had just said, she
you just said that. You get one more. Do you have one more story? You get one more story.
Please don't tell your parents.
Oh my God. Do you have more? Okay,
be quiet. This is my segment. Be quiet. Jackson, thank you for respecting during the segment. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. Just let us know any feedback you have. I'm sorry for the interruptions that happened during this segment.
Moving to Tahiti.